Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are looking now at 3 John, verses 7 and 8, and are studying the question, why Christians ought to support missionaries, because that's really what this epistle is about primarily. You remember that the Apostle John is writing to a man named Gaius, who has been active in helping gospel workers, traveling gospel workers, mostly those that he wasn't previously acquainted with, but who came to him from the Apostle John, who came to him from the church at Ephesus, who came to him recommended by those that he knew and trusted, and he had been faithful to help them when they came to his town by providing hospitality in his own home, by helping them financially on their way as they continued their missionary journey. That's what he had done. John commends him for that, but then John boldly, though somewhat subtly, but not maybe as subtly to the ears of Gaius as it sounds to our ears when we read the language as it's found in our Bible, but the phrases would have been more clearly understood by Gaius to be an appeal for additional financial support. And so we read in verse 5, "Beloved, you do faithfully," John commending Gaius, "you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren who are strangers," that is, strangers to you, "who have borne witness of your love before the church, please send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God." There's the appeal. Please send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. And then he goes on to say, "because," the first word of verse 7. And as we look at what follows in verses 7 and 8, we get the reasons why. This is why I'm asking you to send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Not so subtle language, for I'm asking you to help them financially. I'm asking you to help with the expenses of their journey, of their travels, of their departure from you and going to another place. They need help. They need financial help, and I'm asking you to do it. You've done it in the past, and I'm asking you to do it again. And so John is asking Gaius to help missionaries, and he gives the reasons why, because, and in the because, in what follows the because in verses 7 and 8, I have identified 5 reasons why God's people ought to support biblical missionaries. And so you have joined me on this Monday, July 22. And I'm very grateful for those of you who have helped me with the finances necessary to keep the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Well, what follows the because? And I've already covered 2 items. I'm ready for number 3, but let me quickly review number 1 and 2. Why? Because of personal sacrifice. Because, we read in verse 7, "they went forth." And there's a lot involved in that phrase, "they went forth," but it's the whole idea of their leaving their home, leaving their families, leaving their comforts, leaving their church, leaving, in many cases, no doubt, their employment, and heading out on a journey to preach the gospel in various places. Because of personal sacrifices, that's why you ought to support them. Please send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, because they went forth. Reason number two, because they represent Christ. Send them on a journey, or on their journey, in a manner worthy of God, because they went forth for His name's sake. Not for their own sake, but for the sake of Christ. They represent Christ, all that He is, and they represent all who belong to Christ. Gaius, of course, was in that category, but if you belong to Christ, you're in that category. And therefore, those who go forth representing Christ properly, appropriately, with sound doctrine, we've talked all about that, about the need to check such claims out carefully. But if there are emissaries who are going forth and they are accurately representing the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He truly is represented to us in the Bible, then they are not only representing Christ, but they're representing all those who belong to Christ, all those who believe in Christ, all those who believe what they proclaim. And therefore, those who belong to Christ should help them. Reason number three, because the world does not support them. That almost is so obvious that you'd think it goes without saying, but John does say it. Because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Again, we might not get the full impact. Some of this is maybe a little too subtle for us, but let's spell it out. What John is saying is, you need to support them, Gaius, because others will not, especially those who don't know the Lord. They're not going to help them. And why should they? Why would we expect them to? So please send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, because they went forth for His namesake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. Now, this raises an interesting question, and that is, who is John referring to by the term Gentiles? And many of you will say, well, that's pretty obvious. That's pretty clear. You've got two categories. You've got Jews, you've got Gentiles. We know who the Jews are, and the Gentiles are everybody else who's not a Jew. And originally, there's no question that that term Gentile did mean non-Jews, and as such would, in most cases, have been pagan idolaters. But it's clear that John is using this expression not as non-Jews, but as non-Christians. Gentiles has shifted a bit in its understanding. Now it's not in contrast with Jew versus Gentile, but it's in contrast with the people of God, who are spiritual Israel, who are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And therefore, Gentiles, who are the opposite of Jews, but more precisely in the terminology that John is using, or maybe I should say in the way that John is using this terminology, he's talking about those who are not Christians. They are not Jews. They are not spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel, of course, is comprised of some who are physical Israel and some who are Gentiles. But once having trusted in Christ, they move into an entirely new category. They are now the spiritual seed of Abraham. Whether they are the physical seed of Abraham or not really doesn't matter. Bloodline doesn't matter. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what matters. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of Jew and Gentile. But now we're not talking about Jew versus Gentile, because all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are the spiritual seed of Abraham, and therefore all those who are outside of Christ can be designated as Gentiles. It's a shift in the way this word is used. It's the opposite of we in verse 8. Verse 7, because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. We'll get, of course, to verse 8 in a moment, but it figures in to our understanding of the word Gentile right now. Gentile is in contrast with we. John, of course, including himself, but also Gaius and others, all those who are God's children, ought to help people like this, because Gentiles, obviously, will not. John, of course, was a Jewish believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but Gaius was undoubtedly a Gentile believer. But both John and Gaius are included in the word we. We ought to receive such. We ought to help such. Because the Gentiles won't. And so this term Gentile has obviously shifted from a physical to a spiritual classification. Gentiles identifies non-believers. That's what is clearly said here, and beyond that, I don't think I'll say any more. But why do missionaries take no support from Gentiles? Well, in the first place, most of them aren't going to offer any. They have no interest in the gospel. They have no reason to help gospel messengers. Of course not. Gentiles have no interest in the gospel. Gentiles, and again, we're talking about non-believers, non-Christians, Gentiles have no obligation to support the gospel. In fact, Gentiles are the very ones to whom these missionaries are going. They are the targets of the activity of these missionaries. We don't expect the Gentiles to support them in their work to convert the Gentiles. But beyond all of that, we need to understand that to take financial support from unbelievers really violates an important principle. It's not only that they do not take support from the Gentiles, but they should not take support from Gentiles. Because soliciting support broadly in the community hinders the gospel. The gospel should come without charge to those to whom it is first proclaimed. The Apostle Paul was very strong in operating on that principle. And even after people were saved, when they were still spiritually weak, he did not usually take financial support from them. It's only when they had matured enough to understand their obligation and not to allow an appropriate appeal for financial aid for the work of the gospel to be a hindrance to them in their relationship with Christ and in their Christian growth, at that point, Paul would take financial support. And in the case of the Corinthians, you can check this out in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 9, Paul even indicates that part of the problem with his relationship with the Corinthian church was that he had not taken financial support from them probably longer than he should have not taken it. In other words, he probably should have started taking it sooner, and he didn't. And he said, forgive me for this wrong. I shouldn't have waited so long. But he had his reasons for doing so, because there were some particular problems in the Corinthian church, as you know, if you study the first and second Corinthian epistles. And that was a church that was more problematic than nearly all others. And so we're not going to let money become an additional barrier to right relationships here. But when you mature in the Christian faith, then of course you need to understand your obligation to support gospel workers. So because they cannot and must not raise support in the world, therefore, they ought to be supported by the people of God. This is a third reason why Christians ought to support biblical missionaries. I hope that is exactly what you are doing. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.